Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, we pray once again that you would keep your promise, that when your word goes forth, it will accomplish that purpose for which you sent it. Grant that it will be the case in each of our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. There is a story that you might have heard about a wealthy man. In fact, I think maybe I heard it from Chaplain Don, but I don't remember if I heard it from him. I just have this feeling that I've heard it before. But he was a wealthy man. He was being visited by this committee from his church, and frankly, it was a fundraising committee. They were trying to raise money for some project that they had in their congregation that they were working on. And because this guy was wealthy, they were hoping he would make a sizable donation. But although he was rich, they knew that he had the reputation of being kind of stingy. And so the committee met with him one particular day, they sort of had it planned out that they would introduce themselves to him and introduce their plans to him and sort of butter him up a little bit by saying something like this, that, well, in view of your considerable wealth, we know that you would love to make a substantial contribution to this project. And the man answered them, and he said this, or something like this. He said, well, did you know that I have a widowed mother for whom I am the only means of support, or she has no other means of support but me? And they said, well, no, we weren't aware of that. And he went on to say, and did you know that I have a sister whose husband left her and her five children with no means of support? Well, no, they didn't know that either, they said. And he said, then, did you know that my brother was crippled not long ago in a car accident? And he can never work another day in his life to support his family. And, well, no, by this time they're feeling kind of sheepish that they've asked him anything. And all of a sudden he bellows out. He says, well, I've never given any of them a single cent. Why would I give anything to you? And this guy had a generosity issue, didn't he? He was... They were right. His reputation was intact after they visited him for being stingy. But St. Paul, in our lesson for this morning, speaks about the issue of generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. Actually, there's a large section of verses of which these two are just a small part. But he says this. By the way, this is the condition upon which this passage is premised. He's writing to the Corinthians, and they're taking up a donation there in Corinth, and the donation is to go to Jerusalem, where there is a large contingent of Christians who are poverty-stricken. And so there is famine in that part of the world, and so they're taking up a donation for them, and it is under that pretext that he says these words to them. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's our passage. And it's the Word of God upon which our meditation is based for the next few minutes. There are, I think, two overall thoughts in these short verses here. The first is this, that God rewards the generosity of His people. We don't think about that very often, do we? In fact, it's kind of hard to grasp. At least in our day, it seems hard to grasp. If it was easy to grasp, we would all be more generous. That God rewards the generosity of His people. The book of Proverbs says this, one man gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will be himself refreshed. In fact, the Bible says this so many times and in so many ways, and Jesus himself said it, that it is a well-established principle that God rewards the generosity of his people. Generosity was one of the marks of Christianity in the early church. In the Apology of Aristides, written, I don't know exactly when, but somewhere around 125 AD, he wrote these words, and he's talking about Christians. He's writing to the emperor, and he says this: if there is among them any that is poor and needy, and they have no spare food, they will fast 2 or 3 days in order to have food so they can supply the needs of the needy one. Wow. That stabs me in the heart. I don't know how that makes you feel. But somebody may say this: all right, if God's rewarding the generosity of his people, how come those Christians were so poor and needy? And how come the ones who were giving generously, how come they had to fast in order to get something they could even give to somebody else? How come they weren't just overflowing with riches that they could give away? And the answer is this, I think. God has more ways to give than we do. Right, we have basically three things that we can give. We can give our time, we can give our abilities or our talents, or we can give our money. That's about it, right? Or give our things, right, our wealth. That's it. It's all we've got. God's got millions of ways that he can repay that back. Millions of ways. Through friends, acquaintances, through strangers, all kinds of ways that he can reward you for your generosity. So we ought not think that he's going to repay in kind necessarily. But God does reward the generosity of his people. It's a well-established principle in Scripture. So that's verse 6. What about verse 7? Here's what Paul says here. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, we've all heard God loves a cheerful giver, so I'd like to focus on the first part of that verse for just a moment. Each should give as he has decided in his heart to give. That means there should be deliberation, shouldn't there, before giving God's wealth away. Because everything you have is God's. Everything I have is God's. Before we start giving it all away, we ought to at least consult him about it, should we not? There are lots of things for which he does not want us to give our donation, to which he does not want us to give our donations. People to whom he doesn't want us to give. So even if somebody walks up to me on the street and asks for money so that he can buy some food, I should at least breathe a prayer for discernment before I offer him God's money, right? At least that much. So we should be generous with what we have, but not indiscriminately so. I think those are the two lessons in this passage for us. And that brings us to our final point, and that is this. If we were to read on from verse 7, 8 more verses, that would bring us to verse 15. See, even a biologist can do simple arithmetic. but we would come to verse 15, where Paul says these words. He's just been talking about all these gifts that he's getting from these people to take to Jerusalem. And he says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And now God gives us all kinds of gifts, and a lot of them are easy to describe, right? He gives us our food, our daily bread. He gives us our wealth, whatever we have. He gives us friends. We can describe those things. There's one thing that is indescribable, and that is the gift of his Son that he gave for you and me. That is a generous gift indeed, isn't it? That he gave his Son, and the reason that it is so indescribable is that he gave his only Son for sinful people. That would be people like you and me, who are selfish, sometimes in the extreme. We have so much and we cling to it so tightly sometimes. He has given his son to pay for that sin. And he did pay for it. He paid for it on the cross when he bled his blood for you and for me to wash away every sin. And now he says, won't you just believe it? Won't you receive it by faith and take it as your own? That most generous gift was given to pay for my selfishness and yours and every other sin that you've committed besides. He paid that debt. Now put your trust in him, won't you? If you put your trust in him, he says, I'll take you home someday to live with me. But until then, you can, because of his promise, live generously. May God grant that for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.